And as we've been hearing, the Prime Minister's facing a fresh round of party disunity over the question of climate change and price on carbon. There's also a breakout of unrest amongst the Nats over the Adler shotgun ahead of Friday's COAG meeting with state and territory leaders, which will look at tightening up the classification of the weapon.
I know that there is a view within the National Party that we believe that the science and the facts behind it means that we hope that those state ministers believe that category B would do the job, but if they believe something else, well, that's for them to take up with their constituency.
National Party leader Barnaby Joyce on 7:30 last night. And Tony Abbott's not happy either. He's upset at reports that the pre-Christmas economic update will scrap one of his pet projects, the Green Army, as we were just discussing there with Craig Kelly. Paul Bongiorno's in our Parliament House studios. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Well, last week it was all about the Turnbull government's success, legislating a big chunk of its agenda. But now, in the blink of an eye, it seems, it's all gotten a bit messy again for the PM. Past experience suggests he's got to be mindful of internal hostility towards a price on carbon, even if it is limited to just one sector, electricity. But what choice does he have at the moment as the government has to review its emissions policies?
Yes, it's going to be very messy, and I don't think it's going to be a very rational argument. You just have to put the word carbon and price together, and you'll get people like Mr. Kelly and Senator Bernardi, and probably, although he hasn't quite done it yet, Tony Abbott arcing up in a big way. Now, this creates the impression of government internal disarray, and it certainly puts Malcolm Turnbull under a lot of pressure, because as Josh Frydenberg said yesterday in a couple of interviews, the whole energy situation is changing. There is change that has to be adapted, and we have to adapt to this change. And one of the biggest changes, of course, as pointed out by the Australian Energy Council, these are the generators, the people that put the electricity into the grid. We've got ageing power plants that need to be replaced urgently, but we won't get the billions of dollars of private investment needed while you've got the two major parties with no consensus going forward, because no one's going to build a power station that won't give you a return on your investment for 50 years if in 50 years' time we've somehow signed up to a net zero emissions.
Yeah, and that's why bipartisanship is important to the industry sector, as you say, for investment. And this notion of emissions intensity scheme, that was Labor policy going into the election. So on that element of what Josh Frydenberg is going to examine in this review, or the chief scientist is going to examine, there you would think there would be bipartisanship around that element. It also puts a price signal into the market to help bring on cleaner baseload power, as we discussed earlier with Danny.
Exactly. It's a market mechanism, and you would think that the the centre right side of the political equation would welcome market mechanisms. It's interesting that Danny Price points out that that this baseload and credit system is not a tax. There's no revenue for the government. But in politics, it's all about perceptions and what the political combatants want to define. One of the reasons why the carbon tax was a tax on the whole economy was because it affected electricity. Anything that affects electricity is, by definition, especially if you want to be a political pugilist, economy-wide. So if this whole discussion is mired in partisan politics, and not only partisan politics between Labor and the Liberals, but intra-party politics, a divided government, Nationals and right-wing Liberals versus Malcolm Turnbull and his mates, then we're in for a disappointing time, if not in broader terms. And I know people talk about moral panic on climate change, but the message seems to be out there in the electorate that we do need to address this in a realistic way.
Paul, what's surprising is the speed with which this sort of blew up, because within sort of minutes, it felt like, since Josh Frydenberg made a pretty benign statement on AM, we had people like Craig Kelly and others come out. Peter Credlin said on Sky last night, her phone has not stopped ringing. Backbenchers are angry that the government is relitigating this issue. And it's not just backbench level. We've had Christopher Pyne, senior cabinet minister. We've had Barnaby Joyce, deputy prime minister, not holding back. Really doesn't bode well for this review of climate policy, no matter how often Craig Kelly tells us that they're open to it, so long as it doesn't put up prices.
Look, you know, what they all know, Fran, and is that the targets that we have set and signed up to in Paris, with the policy settings that we've got now, we simply can't reach those goals. Now, some of the pessimists here say we will never reach them, but what we're hearing from Mr. Kelly and others is the realisation that if we're going to be serious about these emission reductions, then we're going to have to do something more real, and they don't like that, and that's why they're preemptively in there and setting parameters that that frankly are dangerous.
Yeah, and the minister keeps restating that price and energy security are at the centre of it. Yes. Tony Abbott, just briefly, he's grumpy that the Turnbull government is reportedly about to scrap his Green Army altogether for that $100 million for the Greens Landcare last week came from there reportedly. Tony Abbott said on his Facebook, dumping a coalition policy for a Greens policy signals, quote, their priorities are more important than ours.
Yeah, look, this is very, very blatant and brazen politics. As Treasurer Morrison said yesterday, there are three ways the government can get through the Senate, with votes of Labor, with votes of the Greens, or with the crossbench. And they do it as the government, accepting that any one of those three ways have come a long way towards them. And of course, compromise is the word. They go a long way, towards whoever's supporting them on the issue. Mm. Now, if you're behind your government, if you're behind your government, you would surely be behind this, because the reality is it's very hard for a government to get a majority in both houses. So there is here, again, you know, a lot of posturing and tub-thumping that is destructive for the government.
All right, Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran. Goodbye.
Paul Bongiorno is contributing editor with the 10 Network. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 6 minutes to 8.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell, media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.